This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Each day this week has brought deadly new violence in Iraq, with U.S. commanders acknowledging that the insurgency there is growing ever more sophisticated. Yesterday, the Bush administration asked Congress to move more than $3 billion out of reconstruction aid and into security projects and other pressing needs. NPR's Tom Gelton reports that the spending shift shows how the fight against the insurgency in Iraq is taking priority over the building of a secular democracy there.
Not long ago, Bush administration officials were promoting a new Iraqi constitution that would uphold women's rights and an independent judiciary. The big question surrounding elections in the country would be whether the most democratic candidates would come out on top. But when National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice appeared this week on the CBS Face the Nation program, she found herself having to make the case that elections are even feasible under the current conditions.
There will undoubtedly be violence up till the elections and probably even during the elections, but it is entirely possible to hold these elections.
Expectations have been steadily ratcheted down in Iraq. The Bush administration had been hoping the central Iraqi government's own police and military forces would soon be capable of taking responsibility for security in the country, but the training of those forces is way behind schedule. The latest sign of 400 Iraqis sent to Jordan recently to be trained as border guards, 200 were returned, according to a State Department report, for, quote, disciplinary reasons. Meanwhile, U.S. commanders and Iraqi government ministers have become increasingly dependent on regional leaders for help in establishing security. A confrontation in Najaf was resolved only after the intervention of Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, a Shiite cleric who favors an Islamic State in Iraq. In the north of the country, U.S. commanders are said to have allowed Kurdish Peshmerga militia forces to continue operating. In the Sunni stronghold of Fallujah, the Marines turned security duties over to a brigade of former Republican Guard forces who had previously served Saddam Hussein, only to have that brigade collapse after it proved useless. The U.S. embrace of Iraqi Prime Minister Ayad Alawi is also telling. Alawi has proved willing to move against insurgents, but he's opposed by many Iraqis who consider him a tyrant. Gareth Stansfield, an Iraq specialist at Chatham House, a British think tank, sees U.S. and allied leaders gradually compromising their commitment to democracy in Iraq in favor of better security there.
If they don't have a plan that they are able to follow and to promote on the ground, and they are instead reacting to these events as they happen day by day now, then I think the potential for Iraq to fall apart into chaos is increased all the time.
Peter Galbraith, a former U.S. diplomat who has traveled widely in Iraq, sees the development of a de facto partition there.
The best way to hold the country together, at least nominally, is to allow each of its constituent communities, the Kurds, the Sunni Arabs, the Shiite Arabs, to have the system they want in the territory they want, so that the Kurds could continue to have a sort of Western-style, somewhat democratic system in the north. While if the religious parties win in the elections, the Shiites might be able to have an Islamic State, but only in the south, and they wouldn't be able to impose that on the entire country.
That vision would be far from the united, secular, democratic Iraq that the Bush administration hoped to see develop as a model for the whole Middle East. In fact, the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, Douglas Feith, says he still thinks Iraq can move in that direction. Feith says important Kurdish, Shiite, and Sunni leaders in Iraq remain committed to a single unified state.
I don't want to overstate it, and I don't want to say that all the returns are in, but I think that there have been some important and constructive steps in the development of these kinds of political compromises among the main groups in Iraq so that we have some reasonable basis for confidence that the country will stay together.
Gareth Stansfield of Chatham House is far less optimistic. He notes that some Iraqi leaders have hinted that conservative Shiite and pro-Western Kurdish forces in Iraq could join forces against Sunni radicals in places like Fallujah, a tactical alliance, Stansfield says, that would only lead to the disintegration of Iraq and possibly to civil war.
I personally think that it is very difficult now for a policy to be planned and implemented that saves the integrity of Iraq. I think that the forces that are now operating in the Iraqi state, the political and sociological forces, are ones that do have at their core different ideas of what Iraq should be that do not have common ground with each other.
Administration officials say they've known from the beginning that Iraq is beset by deep ethnic, religious, and political divisions, and that holding the country together would be a challenge. Critics of the Iraq operation ask, in that case, why wasn't a better plan put in place for dealing with the post-war problems that have now emerged? Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.